Final Whistle Weekly with ex-Spurs and England football international Gary Stevens, powered by Tyvisa.com and Inspire Media.
Welcome to the Final Whistle, a weekly football review show recorded here in Thailand. Each week we take a look at the big games from the English Premier League and a closer look at what's happening in the Thai Premier League. You can listen to Final Whistle on Tyvisa.com, Inspire, DanAboutThailand.com and on FM radio throughout Thailand. I'm Jonathan Fairfield and I'm delighted to welcome, as always, ex-Spurs in England defender Gary Stevens. How are you, Gary?
I'm great, thank you very much. Looking forward to the regular chat.
Yeah, I think there's only one place we can start this week. What a game at the weekend. Wembley Stadium, FA Cup semi-final, Watford against Wolves, and Watford incredibly coming from two goals down to beat Wolves 3-2. Wolves were two up with just 11 minutes to play.
Yeah, great drama.
We've got that and other key talking points from the weekend. Where to start with that game, Gary?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I love the FA Cup. I really do. And Pep Guardiola, in actual fact, had referenced it earlier on in the week because his Man City side played Brighton the day before and beat them. But he had referenced that, in his opinion, as a young man growing up in Spain, the FA Cup was the big game that he used to look forward to watching. But I think when you're two behind, as Watford were, with, you know, maybe just over 10 minutes left on the clock, you know, you know you're up against it. And I thought that Javi Gracia made a good decision to bring Deulofeu on, who contributed hugely. And, you know, eventually Watford got themselves back on level terms. And then it's extra time. Fatigue kicks in a little bit. A really, really gutsy performance from Watford.
Yeah, one of the key moments in that game was Troy Deeney's penalty to equalise that took the game into extra time. You've taken penalties in big, big games. Just give us a bit of an insight into the kind of pressure and what's that feeling as you're stepping up?
Well, from my own personal perspective, it happened in a UEFA Cup final for Spurs against Anderlecht back in 1984. And there was only one thing that mattered, in my opinion, at the time, and that was that I stayed focused on what I believed I was going to do with that ball. I still believe that, you know, the player taking it is the favourite. You are in control. And I think that's exactly what Troy Deeney had in his mind, that he was in control. He knew what he was going to do with it. And you have to shut everything else out. You know, however many tens of thousands are watching, however many millions are watching around the world, whatever an opponent might have said to you, it's about your mental strength.
Yeah, a lot of pressure in those situations. What a contrast between that game and the other semi-final that took place on Saturday between Manchester City and Brighton, with City running out 1-0 winners. How did you see that one?
Well, obviously Brighton, a former club of mine, and 36 years ago I was playing for Brighton in an FA Cup semi-final against Sheffield Wednesday. And we beat them on that occasion, and we got to Wembley and played Manchester United in the final. You know, let's be honest, it was David against Goliath. It was the mighty Manchester City against Brighton, who are, yes, a good Premier League side, but very humble in comparison. And when they went 1-0 down very early on in the game, it didn't look great. But, you know, I always felt Brighton were going to try to, you know, defend, deny Man City, take the game as far as they could. Could they take it into extra time? Could they take it to penalties? But the truth is that Brighton, unfortunately, couldn't even score a goal on the day.
Yeah, I suppose it's tricky. You go at Manchester City, but then risk leaving yourselves open, and they can really punish you then, can't they?
Well, that's the dilemma, isn't it? And we've seen Manchester City score 3, 4, 5, and 6 goals and more against different teams at different times this season. Yeah.
On to Sunday, and Everton picked up a 1-0 win against Arsenal at Goodison. I watched this game, and Arsenal just didn't get going at all. Very sluggish, really.
Yeah, Arsenal have been really poor away from home this season. Actually, as they have been for a number of seasons, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 seasons in actual fact. That's now Everton's third win on the spin in the Premier League. And it was only maybe a month or two ago we were talking about Everton Football Club and possibly their coach being under real pressure as far as would he remain in a job or not. You know, football turns really quickly.
Yeah, a few results and it's a
different story.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to this coming weekend then, and the pick of the fixtures arguably on Saturday sees Spurs take on Huddersfield in the early kickoff, and with Man United playing West Ham at Old Trafford later in the day. Both Spurs and United are still chasing those European spots in the top four. How do you see those games going?
Well, you'd expect Spurs to beat Huddersfield, you know, already relegated, first team relegated this season out of the Premier League. You know, it'll be Spurs' second Premier League game at their new stadium. They got off to a winning start against Crystal Palace. So I expect Spurs to beat Huddersfield, and it's by how many, in all honesty. Manchester United, West Ham. Well, again, I favour Manchester United strongly. This West Ham United side, yeah, they've got a lot of good players. They've spent a lot of money, but just totally inconsistent.
Yeah, very inconsistent, aren't they?
Yeah, just don't know what to expect from West Ham. And, you know, if you're the owner of West Ham Football Club, you must be really wondering what on earth you can do, because they have spent big money. They are now in a fantastic stadium. Admittedly, it's not really a football stadium, but they, you know, they drag over 60,000 in there when it's full up. It's difficult. It's difficult to find that magic ingredient for success.
A look onto Sunday, and we've got Palace at home to Manchester City, and the later fixture is probably the big fixture of the weekend, Liverpool v Chelsea. I mean, we've heard the term must-win games now. I think we've been hearing that for about the last 3 months, but they really are must-win games for City and Liverpool in that title race. How do you see those games going?
Well, this phrase must-win, I do understand it, but the truth is that if Manchester City lose against Crystal Palace and they kick off before Liverpool, and Liverpool lose, well, actually, it then wasn't a must-win, was it, for Manchester City? Because, you know, they're still in a strong position with the game in hand against Liverpool. You know, again, how do you back against the big six, as it were? I can't see, and although Crystal Palace is a difficult place to play at, I can't see Man City getting it wrong and doing anything other than winning at Crystal Palace. Liverpool have the bigger test, of course they do, against Chelsea, because, you know, Chelsea have come into a little bit of form. You know, Sarri's, again, we're talking about Sarri at Chelsea, weren't we, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, will he get sacked? Suddenly they're, you know, off the back of the weekend's results, they're third in the table. So we judge too much by the moment. But I think it is a real test for Liverpool. And of course, Chelsea have ruined Liverpool's championship hopes in the past, haven't they? I'm going to go for a draw.
Good shout. Let's look closer to home then, and to the Thai Premier League this weekend. There were some big wins for some of the sides, including your former team Port, who beat a bit of a surprise package, Prachuap, 5-0 to send them top of the league. What else happened this weekend, Gary?
Well, that was the biggest scoreline, wasn't it? But Bangkok United, they got themselves back into some form with a 4-0 win against Suphanburi. They'd previously picked just 1 point up from their three games prior to that. Mano Polking, their head coach, never one to panic. And again, Bangkok United don't normally start particularly fast. They'll be towards the very top of the table come the end of the season. And the other one that stands out, Mung Tong United, lost again. So only 6 points from seven games played for Mung Tong United. I guess the optimists would be saying they're joint 12th in the league, but the pessimists would say that they're actually equal bottom. Five teams with 6 points from seven games at the wrong end of the table. I've decided to have a little look at someone to watch, and we've touched on Bangkok United, and one of their four goals in that game was scored by Mike Havanar. Now, interesting character. Number one, he's 6'5" tall and a striker. He's played international football for Japan. His father was a professional footballer. His mother was a former national heptathlon champion. And, you know, he scores goals. He scored an awful lot of goals when he was playing for a couple of sides in Holland.
Okay.
So I think he's one to watch this season.
Okay, good stuff. And did you say there was a lot of different scorers in the Port game?
Well, there was. They scored five goals, and all five were scored by different players. I guess the surprise for me was that last season's top goal scorer, Dragan Boskovic, didn't actually manage to score. Those who follow Port closely know what he's like as a player. A former Montenegro international, because he's only played once and the last time he played for them was in 2012. So I'm not sure he's ever going to play for his country again. And then the other talking point is that the expected new coach of Mung Tong United watched his side lose and he still took the job off the back of that. He's got a real tough task on. The coach, Yun Yong Hwan, 46-year-old South Korean, played international football for South Korea, midfield player, and he's joined the club from previously being a coach in the J-League in Japan.
Oh, it'd be interesting to see how he gets on then with the challenge at Mung Tong.
Big test, but from my perspective, just the two sides that I probably follow closest than anybody here in Thailand are Port, who top of the league, so I'm pleased for them. I used to be the head coach there. And Army United, who have been top of T2 and currently sit second in the league there. So my old side's both doing well.
Good stuff, Gary. Well, that's an interesting insight into the Thai Premier League. Just before we wrap up, remind us how people can connect with you on social media. Where can they find you?
The easiest way is on Twitter, and I'm Gary Stevens UK. So at Gary Stevens UK on Twitter, and I'll always reply to you.
Okay, that's great, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Final Whistle Weekly with Gary Stevens, a Thaivisa.com and Inspire Media production.